chapter 16, verse 16. All right, and actually we've been working our way through some of the books of Acts. If you notice, we're just reading it in context. And, you know, we kind of stop before something really heavy. So what are we going to do when we hit a heavy thing? We're going to plow right into it, right? So Acts chapter 16, 16 through 24. All right, so my message title today is Sharpening Your Spiritual Discernment. How many people know in a day and age like today where we are bombarded with information, facts, opinions, we need discernment to say, Holy Spirit, where are you in the midst of this? Jesus, where is your heart and what is the truth? Because truth brings freedom, right? And that's something we have to constantly sharpen. So I want to talk today about so much stuff. Oh my gosh. I'm going to dive into some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to dive in on how to hear the voice of the Lord better and cueing into those things. But let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we got a lot to do. And I just thank you that you help me just share what you want to share through your scripture and pace myself, because sometimes when I'm excited, I talk fast. Lord, we just thank you for your truth through your word. And we just love you. And this is your service. And it was so good worshiping you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for your written word. It is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Acts chapter 16, we're probably going to camp out there, but I have a ton of scripture. All right, how many people know a religious mindset can really do a lot of damage? Anybody ever been really damaged besides myself through and you're like, but this is religion. No, this is not religion. Guys, welcome to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. And I love a relationship with Jesus and his manifest presence through worship and the Word and prayer. And I love the Word of God. And the Bible tells us, so we dig into the Word of God and we study it out. And if there's anything you're like, wow, I don't know how I feel about that. Guess what? It doesn't really matter how you feel about it. It's the Word of God. That means if it kind of bugs you a little bit, you probably need to dig in and study, right? So I'm going to hit some topics that bug people. You excited about it? All right. So a religious mindset or a religious spirit can do a lot of damage. It can do great damage in families, churches, society, and even in your own reputation, because don't you just love how people like to say all Christians are hypocrites? And it's really not, but religion is the definition, right, of a hypocrite, right? And we're going to talk about legalism and so forth. All right, so I've been kind of weaving some things in here. So how would we define a religious spirit or a religious mindset? It is one that uses God's word out of context for their own agenda. Anybody ever had that happen? Where someone just kind of picked a scripture and like, that's not even what it means. I've had ministers do this to me. I was like, I was trying to be respectful, but I'm like, that's literally not what the Word of God says. Anybody been in one of those conversations and you're not, and I'm not a debater. It's just not who I am. So I'm like, hey, you know what? Let's open up the Bible and let's read what you just said that Jesus said. And what do? We look at who he was talking to, the culture, what was going on at the time, what he said before, what he said after, and all of a sudden, really, truth starts to like rise to the surface. I've seen this in many churches, Christians, church leaders that are incredibly gifted in the Holy Spirit, but they don't stay humble in how they serve people, how they serve the community, and even how we serve other leaders too. I have great friends in other churches. They don't always believe everything I believe, but you know one thing we always agree on? Jesus Christ is a Son of God, and he died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again, and we gave our lives to him, and we're trying to do our best. And you know what's great is having lunch with other ministers and being honest and vulnerable and transparent, And just opening up the word and our lives and growing together and learning together. It's good to grow with people instead of shoot people, right? So I've seen this, and I've seen people kind of slip into this religious mindset through sometimes pride, and what they start to do is they take some things out of context and they hyper-spiritualize them, and then they weaponize them. Anybody ever been shot with something like that? You know, they just kind of picked, like they started majoring on a minor. And all of a sudden, they just machine gunned you every time, and you were just, and you're like, where's the heart of God in the midst of that? How many people know Jesus hates sin? Can we say that? It's okay, because it breaks his heart. God hates sin. But do you know who he loves? People. And his heart is always through repentance to bring what? Restoration and empowerment that says, go and sin no more. This isn't even who you are. That was who you were yesterday. Or maybe on the drive on the way here when the finger went out the window because somebody cut you off. But that's not who you are. Repent and move forward. Okay. All right. You know, sometimes I've seen people weaponize scripture. And you go, why? Why? You know, sometimes I've seen it to control people. Anybody sense that? I've seen there's a lot of damage in that. Sometimes it's to shame people. And I'm like, Satan is the author of shame. You ever been around someone and they just keep digging up your past? And you're like, really? That was like 20 years ago. Why are you still talking about it? Satan does a good enough job talking about it. I don't need you talking about it. And why? You know what bullying is? You put other people down to make yourself feel better. What does religion do? I'm going to point out your sins so you don't look at mine. All right. You know, everybody knows Pastor Sherry hates religion. I do. But I love Jesus and I love his word and I love community. And this is what church is. So, interesting. All right. So I want to say this. Satan loves to quote scripture. Did you know that? I mean, if you want to like go back and tag your Bible, go back and read Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. This is when Satan thought he had the upper hand. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to like get Jesus when he's kind of feeling weak. When, you know, if you haven't eaten a burger for 40 days, just giving up burgers is hard. I'm talking, he gave up no food for 40 days. I would be so hangry. And he didn't sin, but it said he was tempted by everything. No, it only had time because, you know, if you were tempted by everything for 40 days, they wouldn't all fit in the Bible, right? But that means every temptation known to man and woman, he was tempted with. And you know what's very interesting is Satan used scripture, misquoted, he took it out of context to weaponize it, to trick Jesus into sin. And what was Jesus's defense? Get behind me, Satan, right? And what did he do? He quoted the scripture. And he quoted it in context, not misquoted. So you know what's so great is no scripture. Get it. Just saturate it in your heart. So when Satan tries to twist something in your head and tries to shame you, to just tear you up, to say you're not good enough, God doesn't use you, and all this. Anybody been around people? That's the make you wake you feel? But it is written, right? I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. True. That brings freedom and healing, and that's the word of God. I love the word of God. It brings me to tears, and I'm also a little pregnant, so, you know, hey, I cry a lot. Oh, man. All right. So I will say this. The devil does love to hide behind the mask of self-righteous religion. Oof. And hey, we, you know, it's very interesting. In culture, in different cultures, in American culture, there are times when people wear masks, you know? And what do they do? They mass deceive, trick or treat, right? They deceive. You don't always know what's behind it. So this term hypocrite comes from the Greek. Anybody know that the term hypocrite actually means mask wearer? So everybody can go like this, mask wearer. So what it was is back in the ancient times, they didn't have TV, they didn't have the camera to zoom in. So you were in an amphitheater and you couldn't really see people's faces or emotions or who were the heroes or who were the villains in the story. So they would change masks. And that's where that term hypocrite comes from. And what do they call the religious? Hypocrites, right? And so what did Jesus call the religious? Hypocrites, the mask wearer. And you know, it's hard to sometimes unmask the truth in society. I'm not just talking about people. I'm just talking about anybody, like all the stuff we're bombarded with on the internet, on the news, on our social media, and going, what is the truth? Where's the truth in the midst of it? We have one minister saying one thing, one Christian saying one thing, one Christian say the other, and they're the complete opposite. How do I discern the truth? We're going to talk about that today. Because it's not wise to just blindly accept something that someone says because it sounds spiritual. Already, it just emotionally makes me feel really good. Are we led by our emotions? I'm led by the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God. And you have to, once again, what does Satan like to do? He likes to what? Misquote scripture. So we got it. When we hear a minister, even myself, guys, I can't read the whole chapter, otherwise we'll I'll see you the same place, same time next week. We'll just still be here. So please go back when I do these scriptures, please go back and read it and study it for yourself. The Berean church, okay, Paul praised them because he said they would go back. I would preach and they'd go back and search it all out. Go search it out. All right. So today we're going to unmask some of the damaging religious, weapons, mindsets, spirits. Yes, we're going to talk about spirits and demons in here as well, because it likes to hide behind religious, self-righteous legalism. How many people hate legalism? Man, I hate it. It's so destructive. And I got to really teach where some of these cultural norms kind of came from the last couple weeks. So the definition of legalism, you probably want to write this down. All right, I stole it from someone smarter than me. So legalism, the pressure of personal preferences, that we impose upon other people as moral mandates from God. I'll say it again, ready? Legalism, the pressure of personal preferences, that means I have just, you know, opinions, preferences, right? You know, I would paint the entire world blue and green and orange. I just love it. Look around the church. But, you know, those are my favorite colors. They may not be yours. It's okay, right? The pressure of personal preferences that we impose upon other people, and we say it's a moral mandate from God. Okay. So a religious spirit likes to hide behind accusation. Accusation. So Revelations 12:10, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. What does that mean? Satan likes to shoot your family and he'll like to, you know, blame someone else for it, right? So I'll tell you, what like really breaks my heart is when we turn on our own team. Who's behind that? Satan. All right, so we want to teach today how to discern truth from religious emotional manipulation. I've sat through pretty much every service in every denomination. And I'll tell you something I can learn from everybody to an extent. If they believe that Jesus is the one and only Son of God, died on the cross, raised from the dead, their Lord and Savior. But I've seen some weird stuff go down. Anybody seen some like weird stuff go down? Anybody seen some stuff that you're like, that can't be the heart of God? And then you're like, well, is that, why do I feel that way? I want to say, we're going to discern between, is that just because I don't like what they're wearing? Is that just because I don't like their personality and their humor? Or is that because that doesn't line up with the word of God and the heart of God? Because I want to discern not based on my emotions or prejudice. I want to discern based on the truth of the word of God. And we need the Holy Spirit to do that. All right. So you guys ever heard the term Antichrist? Right? Okay, talk about it in church. So the term Antichrist you're going to see in the word, especially in the book of Revelations, and it refers to this end time world leader. And this leader called the quote Antichrist, which is a description, is going to deceive the world and lead a rebellion against the one true God. Okay, now this is very interesting. I learned something new. You like learning new things? The Greek word for anti is different than what we think it is in English. Because in English, you think anti is opposite, right? The anti-hero or whatever, okay? Okay, ready for this? This is fascinating. The Greek word for anti actually is defined as similar, but different in nature. Similar, but different in nature. What does that mean? This Greek word antichrist means they're similar to Jesus. They look on the outside, on the surface level, it looks like a Jesus follower, but radically different in nature, their heart, who they really are. What? It's a mask. And we need spiritual discernment, don't we? All right, so the Greek word to discern or discernment is actually a process. How many people know that to get to the truth, it takes some process, right? Because normally your split judgment, I studied this in school, is normally based on the environment we were raised in. Did you know that we judge people based on our prejudice all the time? And I'm not saying we're prejudiced, like sometimes we think it's skin color, but we are prejudiced towards people of different social and economic backgrounds, right? They drive a certain kind of car, we're prejudiced. You know, we have a preconceived notion of them. It's not cool, right? Anybody been judged by the way you look on the outside? It's awful. So this Greek word discern or discernment is a process, and it means this: to sift or distinguish. Number one, so I got to sift through it. You know, you kind of sift through, like, by the way, I cook with beans. Brad hates beans, whatever. I love them. And they say you're what, supposed to kind of like lay them out, sift it out, and kind of look for the little stones in there? Anybody else? Okay, because why? If you bite that stone, you're going to crack your tooth. And these days, a cracked tooth is like $2,000. I mean, it's crazy. All right? So it's important to what? Sift through before you eat something. You got me? All right, so you're going to sift through, distinguish. This is kind of, it's not easy to pick out the truth, okay? Then you're going to select or divide out, and you're finally going to decide. So to discern, I'm going to sift through. That takes some time, right? And then I'm going to kind of select what is truth, what is error, what is good, what is evil, what is God, what is scripture, what is truth. And then I'm going to make a Holy Spirit-led decision. A split second, honestly, normally you're going to decide something based on your own prejudice. Anybody with me now? You can kind of see where I'm going. And don't you worry. I mean, I haven't even cut into the full steak yet. We're going for it. Okay. 1 John 4:1-3. I use lots of food analogies because I'm always hungry. All right. 1 John 4:1-3, New Living Translation. This references in context, it's talking about discerning the spirit of the Antichrist. So for the sake of time, this is how it starts. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone." How many people know you can't believe everyone on the internet? You cannot believe everyone on YouTube. You can't believe every book you read, okay? You can't believe listen, our news anchors, I'm sure they're doing their best, but you can't believe everything they say, right? Because they're all educated, they got more degrees than me, and they're saying opposite things. So how do I discern the truth? All right? It says, okay, do not believe my brother, my family, okay? Don't believe everyone who claims they speak by the Spirit of God. You must test them to see if the spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. What does that mean? And listen, I'm not going to, how do I say this carefully? There are going to be people that come to church with, and they have the right heart. But they're just quoting their favorite preacher. They're quoting something that, you know, like just kind of like, oh, that felt good. And we believe it because they look really spiritual. You know, they got like their 20-pound Bible and their really fancy matching suit, you know, and they use all those little scriptures, or they have 30,000 degrees, you know. But we need to what? Discern. What? Sift through it. Look into it. Does this align with scripture? Does this align with the heart of Jesus Christ himself? And then I'm going to decide. And did you know this, what I've found? Some people are a little bit off sometimes, but you know what? How many know this? We're not always 100% there, right? Everybody ever have a bad day and you say something on your bad day and that's all I remember and you're like, but I really am a nice person, okay? But you know, I can learn from most people, you know? But we need to test, because I've met a lot of people, they just quote their favorite preacher all the time. I went to Bible school and my professor warned me against this. He said, don't you get out there and just be a parrot. I was like, what? He said, you know what parrots do? They just keep repeating everything they've heard. And I went, oh, I think we do that a lot. Don't we just quote our favorite preacher? But you know who we're supposed to be quoting? Jesus Christ himself and the Word of God. And remember, Satan quoted the Word of God out of context. That means we need to be students of the Word. Okay, so what are we talking about today? Sharpening your spiritual discernment. And how does that spiritual discernment get sharp and clear? By renewing your mind in the Word of God every day. And not just, listen, I love the Scripture of the Day app, so you can get it at the stoplight, right? No, not, I mean, on audio. But I'll tell you, the best thing you can do is play the Bible out loud in context. Why? Because you're more likely to get the full meaning, okay? All right, and it's going to help the Word of God, and we'll talk this at the end, helps discern motives of the heart and read a situation better, okay? Before we come to the wrong conclusion and the wrong decision, we need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. So Hebrews 5:14, this is the Passion Translation. It says, but solid food is for the mature. Roll out the steak, y'all, right? Solid food is for the mature, whose spiritual senses perceive heavenly matters, and they have been adequately trained by what they've experienced to emerge from with understanding of the difference between what is truly excellent and what is evil and harmful. I need to know if some preaching or teaching that I'm hearing, is that excellent? Is that the excellent heart of God, or is that harmful? Am I getting a lot of religion out of that? Where's the heart of God in the midst of these things? The Berean Standard Bible, remember the Berean church, says, who by constant use have trained their senses to distinguish good from evil. New Living Translation says right from wrong. I want to be able to discern the heart of God in the midst of things. I want to understand the truth, right? So the definition of spiritual discernment is this. It's the Holy Spirit-guided ability to perceive and distinguish between truth and error, good and evil, and divine guidance versus, so divine guidance means Holy Spirit guidance versus human or deceptive influences. All right? So once again, guys, come on. I'm done with my newsfeed. I'm done with my newsfeed. It's just information, information, information. And it's from like some people I love and respect, and they're saying opposite things. And then sometimes my heart just gets grieved. And I'm like, Jesus, where's your heart in the midst of this? Where's the truth in the midst of this? So I've been spending a lot of time in prayer and having some tough conversations with people going, have you prayed about this? Ready? Have you prayed about this? Have you paused and praised about this before you reposted someone else's opinion? Quiet. But I like them. They're my friends. Or they're a really famous person, and I like their teaching and preaching. Did you really pray and discern the heart of Jesus Christ before you forwarded that on? How about this one? Did you pray and get quiet before you texted that accusation to someone? By the way, never, never. Don't listen, guys, if it's a serious matter, please call them. Do coffee. Why? Because when they text a serious matter, we kind of hear a different voice. We hear a different tone, okay? I want to say this, like, pray before you share someone else's teaching, because oftentimes it's even out of context of their own sermon. Is this accurately portraying the heart of Jesus Christ? What is his heart? His word. And if I'm in his word constantly, I'm more apt to what? Portraying his heart. Today, we are learning how to better discern between what is the Holy Spirit-guided spiritual discernment versus, ready for this, a corrupt religious mindset, which we know only causes damage, okay? Is that really what the Holy Spirit's saying, or is that just an emotional, fleshed-out suspicion, criticism, or fault-finding? So I want to talk today about the gift. I'm going to say, and this is like the really heavy one, so we're going to go deep. The spiritual gift of discerning of spirits. Has anyone ever heard a clear teaching on the Holy Spirit gift of the discerning of spirits? Okay? I've heard people kind of like portray it as something that it's not. So we're going to portray what it really is. And some people have this gift, and that is also called spiritual discernment. Okay? I have had some people say they are operating in the gift of the discerning of spirits when really they're just in the quote gift of suspicion, the gift of criticism, and the gift of fault finding. Okay? It's not a spiritual gift. They're what? Putting a mask on and saying, oh, this is a Holy Spirit gift. And it's not. How do we discern that? Even if they're ready for this, move in great power and ability. But sometimes our heart's off, okay? So I want to get a better understanding of what the difference is of the Holy Spirit gift of discernment. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, and we're going to focus on one in particular. It says, verse 1 says this, now about spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy, brethren. This is the Amplified. I do not want you to be misinformed. How many people know? There's a lot of misinformation out there about where God's heart is and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because how many people know you can do something really emotional and really, really powerful and really, really convincing with the right suit and the 20-pound Bible and it not be the heart of God? But it was really entertaining. All right. So it goes on to list different spiritual gifts. And by the way, it's my favorite thing to teach on. I finally was like, yes, I can touch on one of them because I've been holding them to after the baby's here because it's just, I'll just fly. I just love it. And how they function publicly. So this publicly in our church and, you know, at Walmart and at the gas station. Did you know you don't turn off the gifts of the Holy Spirit the moment you leave the four walls of the church? In fact, they'll operate in higher caliber capacity if you're among lost, broken people. I'm telling you, if you want to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, get around people that don't know Jesus, because Jesus' heart comes out and he's like, I'm going to move in great power because I want their life transformed. You know, those are some people that just won't listen to you. But if God reveals a mystery about their life, something that happened to them as a kid, or something that's a heart desire that they never told anyone else that they want to do, and you go, I don't know, Holy Spirit just told this. Can I pray for you? Yes, because they're seeing the power of God, the reality of God. All right. So, and by the way, it talks in context. These gifts are for the building up of the body of Christ, not the what putting down, the criticizing, the judging, the fault finding. It's for the building up. So you can use these legitimate gifts, but if you use them the wrong way, you're going to do damage. Because God sees you not as you are, but as you're called to be. And I have so much I can talk about in prophetic words. All right, here we go. All right. So verses 8 through 11, it says, to one, it is given the gift of the word of wisdom. And I'll teach this in the future in depth. And that is when God gives you a glimpse, just like a snapshot. You know, like, come on, when we take a picture, you just get a picture. A picture is sometimes worth 1,000 words, but God will show you a snapshot, a word, a thought, something, ready for this, wisdom, okay, ready? That's going to happen in the future. And I've seen, and you guys, this is like heavy stuff. Go, listen, I've had this happen to me where people have told me things about my life that were going to happen. And I was like, nah, no way. And then a couple years later, it totally happens. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, God, you got my number. Isn't that cool? Anybody ever had a spiritual gift if someone did it in not a weird way? And it's like, God sees me. He knows me. He cares about my future. Okay, this is a gift that God gives. Now, by the way, this isn't, do you know everybody doesn't all have the same gifts? Brad has gifts that I don't. I'm married into it. It's awesome, okay? Like, I would love, my father was, he was very artistic. He could paint. I can't. I stink at it. I don't, like I said, I'm not even good at coloring, okay? But God's going to give everyone different gifts for what? The building up of the body. And if you could say, I wish I had that one, but, you know, sometimes he gave it to one person and you need to hang out with them. All right, okay? All right, to another, he gives the word of knowledge. And this is a snapshot, a piece of the puzzle about their past or present situation that no one else can know. And it glorifies God and it builds you up. How incredible. This has happened to me as well. I've gotten these. I love talking on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm focused. We're going to focus in on one, okay? I love the Holy Spirit and his word is so good. To another, the gift of faith. To another, the gifts of healing. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Prophecy is speaking the will of God to what, according to 1 Corinthians 14:3, to build up, to comfort, to encourage, to strengthen. That's when it's done well. I've had some stuff done weird. How many people know it's good to do it well where it reflects the heart of God? Okay. Now, this is the one we're talking about next. And it says, to another, the discerning of spirits. Okay, the English Standard Version says, the ability to distinguish between different spirits. Amplified says this, the ability to discern and distinguish between utterances of true spirits and false ones. Okay. And it goes on to list other gifts of the Holy Spirit, which for the sake of time, we'll keep going. All right, there's three gifts of revelation where God is going to tell someone something that that no one else could know, only God can know. And those three gifts are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And for time's sake, I'm only talking about which one? The discerning of spirits, and it's a gift that the Holy Spirit gives. It goes on to say in verse 11, but to one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So don't be jealous that somebody got a gift that's different than yours. Go play together. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? You know, the neighborhood kids, you get together. I got this thing. I got this thing. Let's all play together, right? Let's have church together, and let's do it well. All right, so the gift of the discerning of spirits is a gift that is extra heightened blessing, an extra empowerment that uses spiritual senses, and I'll talk about this later in the future because I cut out my notes, of seeing, hearing, touching, tasting that is outside the natural realm. Everybody, pinch your person beside you. If you don't have a person beside you, pinch yourself. Okay, this is your natural realm. This is what we see, right? The gift of discerning of spirits is what God does when he opens up the veil into the spirit realm. And you see, or sometimes hear, or these other senses into a realm that no one else is seeing. This is a gift. My dad had this gift. I remember him praying for me as a little girl that I would have this. And sometimes, you know, sometimes people get a gift that you didn't really want. I've never seen an angel. I would love to see an angel. My dad saw some angels, never seen them. Dang it. I would love that. You know the ones I've seen? I've seen the other side. I've seen it. I've seen some demonic presences. I've seen some demons, and dang it, I've seen the glory cloud. We'll talk about that later. Like, I have seen into the spirit world, and it's not all the time. It's when something needs to be revealed so it can be expelled. Does that make sense? All right, we're gonna talk about that today. All right. The lady that mentored me, her name was Joanne, and she really moved in these revelation gifts pretty actively. And I remember she could see sometimes certain things. And she's seen angels, she's seen demons. Like, Pastor Sherry, what are you talking about? I'm like, it's in the Bible. We believe the whole Bible's for today, right? Amen? And I remember she would smell sulfur sometimes. I never had that happen to me. I would see things. I have so much I want to say. You guys excited about the Word of God? All right. So what is the discerning of spirits? Some people have it, and it lifts the veil of the natural world where you can see into the spirit, okay? And the whole point is we need to sometimes distinguish the sources of things, right? All right, so what the discerning of spirits is not, it is not thought reading, it's not ESP, it's not extrasensory perception, it is not psychological analysis, it is not based on, ready for this is where people get off track, your natural judgments. It's not, because you know our natural judgments are formed based on our environment and our culture, right? They're based off the teachings we've heard, you know, from different ministers or things we've heard in our home, our church, or even in society. And they are influenced by the things we see and hear in the media. Are ready for this one? That really dumb movie you shouldn't have watched because your theology is coming from horror movies. I'm telling you, I remember talking to a minister. He's like, most people's theology on the spirit world comes from horror movies. We need to read the Word of God. Okay. All right, and this is where I want to see this. Sadly, I have seen some religious people that falsely claim to move in this gift of the discerning of spirits when you can see sense into the spirit realm. Not everybody has that, okay? And they use it as an excuse to pass judgment on people or groups of people that they just don't like. What's that called? Prejudice. And they hyper-spiritualize some things. And I'll say that's really damaging. But did you know, like I said, there's a gift where you can see into it, and there's also what our spiritual discernment, which I'm going to talk about because everyone can operate in a high caliber of spiritual discernment if we sharpen it in the Word of God. All right? But I had to kind of say this because, like I said, I've seen some people using it as an excuse, and it's really just their personal prejudice. It's their natural judgment. So you need to know what it is. All right, so I want to go into so much, but that's okay. Thank you, Lord. So I've been in church services where people will stand up and they'll give a word or they'll move in a particular what they claim is a gift of the Holy Spirit. But I get a really weird off feeling. Anybody been in one of those? And it could just be somebody on microphone, you know, and they're just, this is what thus saith the Lord Godeth. You know, normally right there, I'm like, I don't think Holy Spirit talks in the King James Version, to be honest with you. Not a lot of laughter here. Can we talk about religion? Come on, y'all. You ever seen people make it weirder than it needs to be? And come on, thank you. Let's laugh in church a little bit, okay? So I've seen people on microphone, have people stand up or just in a Bible study or whatever, and they just make it weird. I was like, yo, like Jesus is fantastic. He's wild sometimes. Holy Spirit's wild sometimes. But don't make it weirder than it has to be, okay? Or they, something they said just scratches funny in your gut. You know, it just doesn't sit right. Or ready, it just leaves a really bad taste in your mouth. And you have to discern here. I need to test this, right? You know, because sometimes people say things that you just don't like, but you know, like you got to eat your vegetables sometimes, right? I don't like broccoli. Put enough cheese on anything, it'll taste good, right? But so you need the word, you need the truth, right? And sometimes truth hurts, it's how we grow. So how do I, what we're gonna learn today, how do we discern, Okay? Do I not like what they're saying because I just don't like their outfit or their accent, or maybe I have a prejudice towards them because maybe their personality rubs me wrong? But the Holy Spirit is speaking through them. Okay? Is it a demon influencing them? Real talk. God has opened up I've seen someone operate in anger where it was like next level. You know, where you're a little scared? And God opened up my eyes and I saw what looked similar to a giant Cheshire cat sitting on their shoulders. This big black thing with the mouth and the claw. And I'm not trying to scare you, but I went, oh, now I know how to pray. Do you hear me? Not everyone that gets angry has opened themselves up to a spirit's influence, right? But you know, if you obsess and you get an unforgiveness and you just start cycling on things, you can open up a door in your life for spiritual influence, okay? So how do we, I want to discern, guys, you want to discern better? I do. So is it prejudice? Is it because I just don't like what they said, or I don't like how they look, or they made it weird, but God was still, God can still move through weird people. You know, he moves despite us, all right? Or is it the wrong spirit? Because, I've heard religious people say scripture that sounds really good, but it just is used the wrong way. All right. That's why we need the gift and operation of the discerning of spirits. All right. So you're going to see this in Acts chapter 16, and this is what opened up this giant can of steak. Okay? Because Paul moved in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, in particular, in the gift of the discerning of spirits, seeing into the spirit realm, okay? This is Acts 16, 16 through 24. Amplified Bible, Paul reported, "It happened that as we were on our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, a demonic spirit claiming to foretell the future and discover hidden knowledge." Okay, the Message translation says, she's a psychic with her, don't you just love a modern translation? She's a psychic, okay? With her fortune telling, she made a lot of money for people who owned her. I've had a lot of questions from youth and young adults, like, okay, so fortune tellers, they know the future, these psychics, and some claim that they're Christians. That causes a lot of confusion, all right? So, I could go into this, but just keep coming back to church, we'll see. Psychics don't talk to deceased people, okay? There are two ways that you go after you die, going up or going down. I'm just telling you, it's either heaven or hell. There's nothing in between. There's no limbo, purgatory, and some people were taught that, and I'm not trying to trash whatever theological thing you've been given. It was based upon Abraham's bosom, which was the holding tank for people before Jesus came. Okay, and then Jesus came, okay, and it says this, and you can go back and read it, Ephesians 4, 8 through 10, and it says, he led captivity captive. He took the holding tank and everybody that was waiting for Jesus to come, and he judged between the living and the dead, and what? If they worshiped the one true God, if they were followers, remember all those people it talked about in the Old Testament that were just doing their best to follow the one true God, took them to heaven, okay? So psychics, so where do they get all this information? They're talking to a familiar spirit. What is a familiar spirit? It is a spirit that has followed people around, has followed families around. So like, well, how do they know all that stuff about my family line? They've been watching and following your family, okay? Now, I could go way into this, and I am always open for questions. Call me. Don't do the text thing. It's just like too much, and my fingers hurt, okay? But we can talk about this and dig into scripture. When we start to entertain familiar spirits, if you're going to a psychic all the time, you got me? You can open up doors to demonic influence because you are just turning the light on, ringing the dinner bell, I want to play. How am I know? I don't want to play with demon spirits. Straight up, I don't. So, demonic, when you start playing with, I'll be real, Ouija boards, tarot cards, going to psychics, palm reading or just even to the occult type things or what people call white magic. I had a friend that was a Wiccan. Jesus died for them all. Loves them all. They're just ready for this. If we don't teach it in church, they're going to go to the other side. And I'm serious. I've seen people that were called because they had a sensitivity to the spirit world and they were actually called to follow Jesus, and because it wasn't taught in church and it wasn't demonstrated well, it was done in damage of religion or whatever, was weaponized. They don't go to church, so they're going to go down to the little corner store with all the candles and, this and that and all the weird little books and stuff like that. And what they open up doors, saying, I want to hear any voice. I'll take any voice. It's a dangerous place to be. Okay. People, I was like, yeah, we open up the can of steak. It's in the Bible. Are we avoiding it? No, we're going to dig through it. Okay. All right. Definition of divination. The practice of attempting to manipulate or interpret the environment through mystical or spiritual means, including gain information. Okay. Divination. Okay, got it. All right, little side note. You might have to go back and listen to this sermon. I'm going to slide it in. 1 Samuel 5:23, ESV, says, "For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and presumption is as iniquity and idolatry." New Living. "Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft and stubbornness." NIV. "Arrogance, as bad as worshiping idols." New American Standard Bible. "Insubordination, as reprehensible as false religion and idolatry." I just want to say this. You know, Jesus died for the psychics, didn't he? He died for the, now here, and people are like, what are you saying, Jared? I'm just saying they're on the wrong team. And don't you love stealing back from the other team? My best friend in high school was dabbling in some of this stuff, and she thought she was a Wiccan. And you know what? I just invited her over for dinner with my family, brought her to my church, and she accepted Jesus, and her whole life changed. Don't you love stealing from the other team? So it's very interesting, because sometimes we as Christians can just, you know, get so disgusted. I was like, Jesus died for them. Let's go represent Jesus with the powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit and do it well. And they go, whoa, I'm on the wrong team. I've never had peace in my whole life. I'm tormented by terrible dreams and night terrors, you know, because they're opening up all these doors. I'm going to give my life to Jesus, repent, and I'm just going to, what, go on the right team. You're like, sure, I know, but this is fun, right? Okay, so I'm just saying. My little side note is a religious spirit operates in what a hyper-spiritual mask operates oftentimes in criticism, suspicion, and fault-finding. And that feeds pride, rebellion, and division, which God is equalizing to just as bad as the sin of witchcraft, just as bad as the spirit of divination. Because we can read this story and go, oh, I can't believe that. And I'm like, but what does God do? He puts all sin on the same, and he goes, it's all breaking people's heart, and it's all causing division. You hear me? All right, Acts 16:17. Back in the story. So she, this psychic girl, started following Paul around, calling everyone's attention to us by yelling out. And this is just distractions. Ever been in a church and someone gets really religious and really distracting and really weird, and you're like, what are you doing right now? Says, this is what she's saying. These men are working for the Most High God. They are laying out the road of salvation for you. Okay. So there's this girl that she's into some weird stuff, right? Okay. So she's on the other team. But she seems to be saying the right thing at church. She seems to be saying the right thing, but what, she's in the wrong spirit. She's under the wrong influence, okay? So this psychic is causing confusion and division with the crowd. So the psychic is speaking and saying they follow the Most High God. Did you know there were a lot of different cultic religions back then? So you don't know if she's talking about Zeus or not, right? These men are following the Most High God. And you're like, is she talking about Zeus or the God that this guy's talking about? Confusion, okay? So people are wondering, is Paul preaching in support of the psychic's God? Is the psychic God a Christian? Are they following? Like, it's just what? Confusion. And what we need, the gifts of the Holy Spirit to discern the source. Is this foretelling gifting a God gift or a demonically inspired gift? Well, Paul knew right away. Some of us might have to sift a little bit, but guess what? You'll still hear by the Spirit of God, okay? So I want to say this. Legit ministers will always point to Jesus. Legit ministers are always going to what? Point away from themselves. They don't want glory from themselves. What? They want glory to Jesus. They're going to preach the gospel. So I think sometimes they can fall into pride and arrogance and just getting some funky stuff. So look to see what they're preaching, okay? Now, this girl, this psychic, okay, she was taking all the attention away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she's making an emotional drama show, shouting out, making it all about her, and it's causing division. Anybody ever been in a church service like that? Okay, maybe I just grew up like going to some, come on, it's, you guys are like, oh. I was like, come on, you guys, I'm going to have to teach it. Otherwise, we're not going to have the real stuff, right? Okay. So here's what happened. Let me say this. If you don't operate in this discerning of spirits, the spiritual gift where you can see into the spirit world, guess what? God is still giving you tools to discern, okay? And the easiest thing is this, okay? John 8:44, and I want to teach this at the end, but I guess we're going to do part two. John 8:44 says, God is not the author of confusion, but peace. So if someone's operating in the wrong spirit or a demon's manifesting through them, or they're just ready for this, all fleshed out, because not everyone has a demon that's a jerk, okay? But this case it is. All right, and I'm confused by what they're saying. They're twisting, ready? God's word out of context. It doesn't sit good in my heart. I have no peace about it. Are ready for this? They're twisting someone else's words out of context, and now I'm confused about their character. Religion likes to do that, doesn't it? And we're getting that creepy, scratching, confusing discernment on the inside. So what? You got to sift through it. You got to take some time. Don't make a snap judgment because you might just be prejudiced. You might just be rubbed wrong by their personality, okay? Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So what are you looking for? I'm going to spend some time at a yellow light. What? I'm going to slow down. I'm going to search the word of God in scripture. If they've used scripture, I'm going to go look that scripture up. I'm going to read the chapter before and the chapter after, and I'm going to get quiet and say, Jesus, where's your heart in the midst of it? How did Jesus talk to people? Man, he gave the religious a really hard time. He was only harsh with religious people. But you know what? He wanted to steal them for his team, didn't he? Remember Nicodemus? What? Okay. But there are those that were in what people would call in society grotesque sins or obvious sins or sexual sins. Oh, he called sin, sin. Didn't make any apologies for that. But he was kind and loving and brought them into what? Restoration. This isn't who you are. I don't care what the whole town's telling about you, of everybody you slept with. This isn't who you are. Go and sin no more. Follow me and go preach the good news to everyone else. Where's the heart of God in the midst of these things? Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. The Greek word for rule means act as an umpire or referee. So that means peace, not your head peace, but deep in your heart should be the final judge, okay? So the Holy Spirit is going to guide your conclusion by peace. If you're angry, guess what that is? Not peace. If you're angry, you're probably, they just said something that bugged you. You just didn't like how they looked, or you didn't like blah, 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 blah. And I'm angry. Guess what? You're not hearing God. Don't make a decision. Don't post. Don't post angry. Right, church? Post prayerfully. Okay? So what's happening here is this woman in a church-like kind of setting, you know, back then, all right? She's saying the same things that the preacher's saying, but she's in the wrong motive. Wrong heart, wrong spirit. What's she doing? I don't know. It doesn't say, but I'll say this. I've had some speakers. You ever had you hear a speaker and all they do is name drop the whole time? It's a good way to not get invited back to this church. I've had people that they name drop all the famous people that they've been ministering to, and they haven't been back here in 10 years, okay? I didn't say they didn't follow Jesus. I'm just saying they got off. So sometimes I've seen this where certain ministers will post a picture of their arm over someone else, right? Acting like they're best friends, and they're not. They're just trying to legitimize their ministry or gain fame for it. You ever had someone name drop to get your business? Oh, I'm friends with so-and-so. They're a Christian. Yeah, and they're at your front door trying to sell you something. Just saying. Sometimes people are saying the same thing to legitimize their agenda, their ministry, their business. And it seems really religious and it seems really right, but their heart is wrong. They're off in their motives. They're using that person for another agenda. I've had that happen. It hurts. Do you ever someone's quoting you? Well, they said so, it's such and such. And you're like, that wasn't what I said. I mean, you took a sentence out of what I said, but the whole context was lost. And you're using this for your agenda. And it hurts. Anybody been there? Can you imagine how God feels? And you can dress up super religious with your 20-pound Bible and preach every church in town in the wrong heart. and the wrong reason. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, New Living Translation. Paul warns the churches. He said, these people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Remember, Satan likes quoting scripture too. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. So God has given some the gift of the discerning of spirits to what to see in the spirit world. But guess what? God has given us all the Holy Spirit. And we're gonna probably need to take a little bit more time to sift through it because our emotions are riled, because we have certain prejudices and we have certain beliefs and we raise in a certain home under a certain influence and we hang out with certain people. And we're gonna have to get what really quiet and search out the scripture and say, where is the heart of Jesus Christ in this? Acts 16, verse 18, yelling out for a number of days, this woman that's under this oppression of demonic influence, she did this for a number of days until Paul finally just got fed up with her. He's like, okay, enough's enough. So he knew right away it was a demonic spirit. And he's like, listen, I got a job to do. I'm gonna keep preaching Jesus. I'm gonna keep preaching Jesus. But after a while, it finally what so inhibited, the room was so divided that he finally just went, this is okay. You know what I love? The simplicity of the gospel. Because this gospel, this Bible had to be translated in languages, and it goes to other countries like China where they can only read one, they memorize one page. Because if their Bible's confiscated, they're in a church of 30 people in the underground church, and at least they'll have 30 pages memorized. The gospel had to be simple. Do you know how he dealt with this thing? King James Version, Paul being grieved. And I really sense it's also a compassion too. He turned around and commanded that spirit that possessed her, out in the name of Jesus, get out of her. Other translations said this. Paul said to the demon, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And instantly the spirit fled. Simple. Simple. So listen, there's so much. Oh gosh, I'm like halfway through. That's okay. You can go read how Jesus modeled this in Mark chapter 1, 22 through 27. Paul modeled after Jesus. Jesus modeled after the Father of heaven. And man, when a demonic spirit was disrupting, and this is very interesting, it was in church. I'll tell you, he quickly dealt with it. Really simple. Get out in the name of Jesus. Go. And got right back to doing what he was called to do. Demons like to distract, to hinder, to cause confusion, to rile your emotions, to get your eyes off Jesus and what you're called to do. So, man, when you sense it, deal with it quickly. Tell it to go in the name of Jesus. And there's so much I want to tell you, but if you end on something really heavy, I have to say this. There are several simple steps. If you've ever been plagued with a spirit of fear, anyone, I actually really dealt with, like, I'd see demonic presences at night. And I'm a Christian girl, pastor's home, but I was tormented by a season. And my dad told me, if there's this, you know, it's a harassment. Like, I'm telling you, it's not just, ooh, that was scary. I saw something, you know, as I was flipping through the channels, but like an intense harassment where it's like debilitating. My dad just told me really simple, as a little girl, if you sense that spirit of fear coming into your room, sweetheart, you just say, in the name of Jesus, you go. Get out of here. And then you just start singing worship songs and singing scriptures, and the peace of God comes in. So this, like I said, I'm halfway through and I wanted to go in other places, so we'll talk about sharpening your spiritual discernment some more. But some really things. Just tell the spirit, tell that demonic presence that's harassing you to just be quiet in Jesus' name. Don't come back. And if you've opened up any doors by focusing on unforgiveness, if you're watching things you shouldn't be, honestly, you're playing with tarot cards. Get rid of them, okay? Repent for anything you might have opened up a door in sin that you might have obsessed over and partnered with. You know, if you don't know Jesus, you just receive Jesus. Jesus, I give you my life. And I'll say this, get filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, if you're filled with fear, you tell fear to go and then go, Holy Spirit, fill me up. And then ready, saturate yourself in the Word of God. Man, play scripture all the time. And I'll tell you this, get in Christian fellowship. Get in a really great grow group, a Bible study. Get a place where what? People build you up, right? And shut that door. Now, like I said, not every person, there's so much. That's okay. We're going to I have a baptism after this. You guys excited about the Word of God? I love the Word of God. Don't skip hard things in the Bible. Don't skip hard things. You hear me? Everybody stand up. I'm not going to skip hard things. I'm going to dive into it. I'm going to dig in it, and I'm going to look for what the heart of God. All right, let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you so much. You're so good to us. Holy Spirit, man, chewing on steak, sometimes you just got to like kick back the chair and stretch and let it digest. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you just help us digest your word, your scripture. Lord God, let it settle into the right parts of our heart. And Lord, if I've said anything that just was off in my extreme, sometimes my humor, Lord, just will toss it aside. But I pray that your heart comes through this, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the gift of the discerning of spirits that you've given to some people. And I pray that they'd operate in it more with greater freedom and liberty and understanding since we've taught on it. And Lord, all of us are called to be discerning. Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of truth. You lead us and guide us in all truth. And we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be led by our emotions. We don't want to just be parrots of other people. Holy Spirit, help us to discern truth in a world that is just berating us with information. Where are you at in the midst of it? What's your truth, Lord God? And how can we share Jesus with people in the midst of it? And convey your truth in love, Lord God, in power and in discernment. Holy Spirit, we want more of you. If you wanted to say that, Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want all of you I can get. Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want all of you I can get. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys are dismissed. If you have any questions or want to be prayed for, the altars are open. I could use some grow group leaders up here and ministry directors. And I do have to scoot out pretty quick. I'm going to baptize a wonderful young man with his family. So